that we've got some insulation in some walls now, and so drywall should be coming, we're hoping, this week. And so the target date is that we're hoping that we can be in there for Easter. Right now, it's not a definite, and so it just depends on how things go. And so we definitely need your prayers on that. Now, when we do move into that new building, I want to let you know that our service times are going to be 8:30 and 10:30. And so you can kind of adjust your schedules for that. We're just really excited. We're excited to be in there. We're excited about what God is doing in and through this church as we strive to be a place where we are connecting people to God and each other, because that's what we're about and that's what we want to do. And so with that said, we are going to continue right into our prayer series that we've been doing, this prayer series that we're calling Lord, Teach Us to Pray. And we've been looking at how Jesus taught to pray in what we call the Lord's Prayer. And we've been looking at that in Luke chapter 11, starting in verse 1. And this is what we read. Now, it came to pass as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, that one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. And so he said to them, when you pray, say, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. And so that's the prayer that Jesus taught to his disciples. Now, we've talked about how prayer is this connecting to God. And what we see is that Jesus is teaching us how to best do that by giving us a model to pray by. He's giving us the framework by which we need to focus our prayers. Now, we've been working through this prayer kind of line by line, and we're to the line that says, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who is indebted to us. Now, some versions might say, forgive us our debts, but make no mistake that ultimately this is about sin, because sin causes a debt to be owed. I like how William Barclay paraphrases this part of the prayer. He says, forgive us our sins in proportion as we forgive those who have sinned against us. Forgiveness is a huge deal. It really is, and it's something that we struggle with a lot. It's a big deal because what we see is that the Father forgives us in proportion to how we forgive others. Now, today we're going to spend some time in Matthew 18, because there's a parable that Jesus tells that I think is going to help us wrap our minds around forgiveness and how we need to forgive. But like I said, forgiveness is this major part of the Bible, and we see Jesus talk about it often. He teaches about it often. And so it's no wonder that Jesus would include forgiveness in this prayer. And so in Matthew 18, Jesus is teaching, and in verse 21, we start there, it says, Then Peter came to him and asked, Lord, how often should I forgive someone who sins against me? Seven times? No, not seven times, Jesus replied, but 70 times seven. Now, you got to get into the mind. You have to know kind of what's going on in that time period. Peter says, hey, seven times? Because seven would have been exceptional in that time. The rabbis all taught that you just forgive somebody three times, and that's good enough. After three times, then don't worry about it. It's kind of three strikes, you're out. You thought that was more recent. It's not, okay? And so they thought three times. And so Peter's thinking, I'm showing this great love and this great faith by saying I would forgive somebody seven times. I mean, that's double what the rabbis would have taught, plus one. And so he's thinking, this is going to be really good. But Jesus has a different view on forgiveness. Have you ever been in a position where you're sitting in a classroom setting and you know you have the right answer, and like you're going to go above and beyond the right answer? I mean, you think you're going to just shine in the classroom, and then the teacher, their instructor, kind of cuts your legs out from under you in front of everybody. That has to be a little bit how Peter was feeling at this point. He was thought he was being extremely generous. He thought he was exceeding the correct answer. And Jesus says, nope, more like 70 times 7. 70 times more than you think is way more than enough. That's how many times you need to forgive. And so was Jesus actually saying 490 times? No. No, he wasn't. See, as followers of Jesus, we are to have this attitude of forgiveness. And this attitude of forgiveness is driven by the love that we have. Remember, love is to be a mark of a disciple. If you are his disciples, Jesus says we're going to be known by what? By our love. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, we read this. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. Here it is. It keeps no record of wrongs. See, love forgives. That's what love does. And if we have love in us, the love of Christ in us, then we are to forgive. 7 times? No, 70 times 7. 70 times, however many times you think is enough. 70 times more than that. Now, I do want to say this because it seems like any time that we talk about forgiveness, people will start having all kinds of questions. And sometimes people will get a little frustrated with this. And so what I want to say is this. Forgiveness does not mean forgetting. Forgiveness is a decision to no longer hold that person's sin against them. You may still, and you probably will still remember their sin. You just don't hold it against them anymore. And what happens is that because you remember their sin, you are going to adjust how you interact with that person according on the sin that happened. In Proverbs 22:3, we read this. The prudent see the danger and take refuge, but the simple keep going and pay the penalty. Jesus told his disciples in Matthew 10, verse 16, be as shrewd as snakes and as innocent as doves. See, if someone breaks your trust, you can forgive them. That doesn't necessarily mean you have to trust them again. Okay? When a trust is broken, it takes time to earn that trust back. And so forgiveness is not about just throwing a blind eye to what they did. It's about not holding that sin against them so you can move on, so you don't have to take that poison every time you see them. Now, as hard as that is, maybe for some of us to hear, I'm sure that this answer from Jesus was extremely hard for Peter to hear. And so Jesus goes on to share a parable that we call the parable of the unmerciful servant. And he tells this parable so Peter and everybody else within his listening can understand about forgiveness. So in Matthew 18, continue on verse 23, we read this. Jesus says, therefore the kingdom of heaven can be compared to a king who decided to bring his accounts up to date with his servants who borrowed money from him. In the process, one of his debtors was brought in who owed him millions of dollars. He couldn't pay, so his master ordered him to be sold along with his wife, his children, and everything he owned to pay the debt. Now, I'm reading this from the NLT, and I'm reading this from the NLT because it's bringing the monetary stuff up to more modern-day terms, and so we can understand. What we see is that this servant owes millions of dollars. Most estimate it was at least $10 million. Okay, and I'm like, I don't know how a king lets that happen in the first place, but I don't understand how our country is in trillions of dollars of debt either. He has accumulated this debt, most likely at least $10 million. There's no way that he can pay this debt. It's just not going to happen. And so the king orders for him, his family, and all his possessions to be sold. Now, that was a customary thing that people did in that time period. If you had a debt and you couldn't pay it, you would be sold into slavery until your debt was paid. And so he has no way to ever pay it back. And so all what he's looking at is for the rest of his life, he and his family are going to be in slavery. Verse 26 says, "But the man fell down before his master and begged him, 'Please be patient with me, and I will pay it all.' Then his master was filled with pity for him, and he released him and forgave his debt." This man was in deep debt. It is estimated that if this servant put every penny of everything that he ever made towards his debt, it would have taken him thousands of years, hundreds of lifetimes, for him to ever get close to paying off this debt. In other words, there was no way that he was ever going to pay the debt. And so this guy's in a totally desperate situation. He's hopeless. And so he does the only thing that he can really do at this point. He begs. And the king is moved with compassion, and he forgives the man. And just like that, just from the words of the king, there is no punishment, no seizure of property, no slavery. The king simply just wipes out the debt, and the guy is allowed to go free. Can you imagine this servant's relief? He's facing a life sentence, and the king says, "All right, I'll forgive your debt." Can you imagine how he felt? This guy has a new lease on life, and you would think that this encounter with the king would have changed everything from him. I mean, you would think that he would immediately run home to his family and gather his friends around, and they would celebrate the fact that he is free from this debt, all because of the king's mercy. But that's not what happens. Look at verse 28. It says, "But when the king left the man, he went straight to this fellow servant who owed him a few thousand dollars. He grabs him by the throat and demands instant payment. The fellow servant fell down before him and begged for a little more time." Does this sound familiar? "Be patient with me and I will pay it," he pleaded. But his creditor wouldn't wait. He had the man arrested and put in prison until the debt could be paid in full. Exact same situation. There's a debt that is owed. There is a pleading for mercy. But this time there's no compassion, no mercy, no forgiveness. I mean, you got to think about that. This guy had been forgiven of a debt that's $10 million. And he will not forgive or even give extra time to someone who owes him a few thousand. Now, he was within his legal rights to do what he did, to have that guy thrown into prison, but you think he would have followed the example of the king, and he didn't. Look at verse 31. "When some of the other servants saw this, they were very upset, and they went to the king and told him everything that had happened." Here's a side note for you. I want you to understand, as Christians, how you live, what you do, what you say, how you love, how you forgive, it's going to be noticed by everybody. Everybody's looking at you because you're saying, "I follow Jesus." And so they're looking at you to see if you really do follow Jesus. Do you really look like Jesus? And it will affect how they view Jesus, how they view the church. We need to be aware of that. It says, "When the other servants saw this unmerciful servant, they went and told the king." Verse 32. "Then the king called in the man he had forgiven and said, 'You evil servant, I forgave you that tremendous debt because you pleaded with me. Shouldn't you have mercy on your fellow servant just as I had mercy on you?' And the answer is yes, he should have. He should have had mercy." And so what we're seeing with this parable and what we're seeing with the Lord's Prayer is that there is this parallel. There is this charge to us and this charge for us to forgive others as we have been forgiven. There's this command there, that we should forgive others as we have been forgiven. And if you don't do that, if you don't forgive others as you have been forgiven, then there's a punishment. And in verse 34, we see the punishment of withholding forgiveness. It says, then the angry king. See, he's not just the king anymore, right? Now he's the angry king. Sent the man to prison to be tortured until he paid his entire debt. Remember, he was never going to pay his debt, right? Not in thousands of years he wouldn't pay that debt. Not in hundreds of lifetimes. And so for his entire lifetime, he's going to be tortured. And then Jesus says, that's what my heavenly Father will do to you if you refuse to forgive your brothers and sisters from your heart. Church, I want you to understand that the king takes unforgiveness seriously. See, that wasn't the penalty the first time around, was it? That this guy would be tortured. But because he had unforgiveness in his heart, then he was going to be sentenced to be tortured for the rest of his life until that debt was paid, which would have never been paid. God takes unforgiveness seriously. And as a Christian, there's no place for unforgiveness within us. And I believe that's why in Matthew 6, right after Jesus taught about the Lord's Prayer the first time around in the Sermon on the Mount, he emphasized the importance of forgiving. In verse 14, he says, if you forgive those who sin against you, your heavenly Father will forgive you, but if you refuse to forgive others, your heavenly Father will not forgive your sins. He won't do it. Jesus taught this way all the time. He told us, you better forgive, because if you don't forgive, my heavenly Father's not going to forgive you. In Mark chapter 11, this is in the week leading up to his crucifixion. Jesus teaches again. He says, and when you stand praying, if you hold anything against anyone, forgive them, so that your Father in heaven may forgive you your sins. Jesus then even demonstrated forgiveness as he hung on the cross and as he bore our sin, as he paid our penalty on the cross. In Luke chapter 23, verse 34, Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they're doing. See, Jesus forgave. He showed us how to do it, too. He forgave those who scourged him. He forgave those who mocked him, who spit in his face, who punched him repeatedly, who beat him with rods. He forgave those who crucified him, nailed him to the cross. He forgave those who called for his crucifixion, crawled for his death. And then he asked the Father to forgive them as well. As Christians, as people who follow Jesus, as people who are supposed to imitate Jesus, we are to forgive as we have been forgiven. We are to forgive like Jesus forgave. When we don't, when we refuse to forgive, it demonstrates resentment, bitterness, and anger. None of these were traits of Jesus. And so they should not be traits of somebody who follows Jesus. Forgiveness is important. It's so important. And this forgiveness part of the Lord's Prayer, it's there to help us remember that we have been forgiven much. We have been forgiven of this tremendous debt. This debt that we couldn't pay. Every single one of us was a slave to sin. And so we all owed a debt that we could not pay. We were all the servant in this parable. That's what we have to understand. We are all in the same position before the king. We have no way to pay our debt. Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. In Romans 6:23, we read this, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. See, we're all in the same boat. We've all sinned. We all owed the same sin penalty of death. And the only hope that we had for our debt to be forgiven was that the King would forgive us, that the King would have compassion and pity on us. And he did. He made a way for us to have our debt forgiven through Jesus Christ. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, we read this: "For God made Christ, who never sinned, to be the offering for our sin, so that we could be made right with God through Christ." Through Jesus, God the King, he wipes out our sin. Through Jesus, the King forgives our debt. There is no punishment. There is no slavery. We are free, and that should be a reason for us to celebrate. That should be a great relief. We should have done what the unmerciful servant should have done. We should go out and tell everybody that we have been forgiven, that we are free from the debt. If our sins had not been forgiven, if our sins are not forgiven by our King, then we will spend an eternity in hell to pay for our sin debt, an eternity being tortured to pay for that sin debt. Thankfully, Jesus paid. He paid for us. We've been forgiven. And since our King has forgiven us like that, how much should we forgive people when they sin against us? What amazes me about this parable of the unmerciful servant is that he actually believes that there is some way he is going to pay that off. He thinks he's going to pay it off. He has this debt he can never repay, like I said, in thousands of years. And he's saying, "I'll pay it back. I'll make it right." And I think so many times we have that same kind of thinking when it comes to God and to our debt. We think, somehow, I can make it right. I can make this right. I can do more good works than I've done bad works, and I can balance the scales in my favor. I can pay my own debt. But the thing is, we can't. We can never pay our own debt. But because we think we can, so many times it holds us back from forgiving others. You know, Paul says in Ephesians chapter 2, "For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves. It is a gift. It is the gift of God. Not by works, so that no one can boast." See, it is by grace. It is by grace that we've been saved. We are forgiven by the mercy and the love and the compassion of our King. And our salvation should change us. The fact that we have been forgiven, that should change us. See, when we are truly forgiven, we should turn around and we should forgive others. Paul said in Ephesians 4:32, "Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other." Here it is: "Just as in Christ God forgave you." We see that all the time. Forgive each other. "Just as in Christ God forgave you." See, we're supposed to forgive in proportion to how we have been forgiven. And if we don't forgive, then we won't be forgiven. Now, I know from personal experience that we're all going to have times where we wrestle with trying to forgive someone. And in fact, there's times where we don't want to forgive. Sometimes we are so angry at that person, we just want to hold on to that anger. Sometimes we just want to see them suffer like they made us suffer. When we're wrestling like that, we need to remember how very much we have been forgiven for a debt that we could never pay. And then we need to forgive in proportion to that. Let's be honest with each other. When it comes to withholding forgiveness It's not that we can't forgive. I hear that a lot. I just can't forgive them. That's not true. The truth is, you just won't. You won't forgive them. We can all forgive. We all have the ability to forgive through the power of God and through the impact of His forgiveness. The thing is, there's just times that we just don't want to forgive. What we're seeing in the Bible, what we're seeing in God's Word, and what we've read, we've just scratched the surface of what's out there in the Bible for forgiveness. But what we're seeing is that it is inconceivable for someone who has been truly forgiven by God not to extend forgiveness to others. It is inconceivable, because when the grace of God comes into your hearts, when you realize how much that you have been forgiven, when you begin to conform your life to Jesus, then you will forgive. Why? Because when you're conforming your life to Jesus, you'll begin to look more like Jesus. You'll begin to do what He did and to say what He said. And you're going to forgive like He forgave. And so, to me, the question comes down to, have you truly been forgiven by God? Have you been transformed by His power? Are you conforming your life to Jesus? And are you showing all this in how you forgive? As people who have surrendered to Jesus, if we refuse to forgive, in essence, what we're saying is we're telling God not to restore a right relationship with us after we've sinned. And I don't think any of us want to be there. And so we need to decide today, is there somebody that I need to forgive? And then you need to go do that. I mean now. This is serious. Don't put it off. Don't put it off. And we have instruction in the Word of God to not even take communion if you have something against one of your brothers, but that you should go and you should make that right before you even take communion. Listen, you shouldn't let another minute go by with unforgiveness in your heart. You need to go forgive somebody. And if that means you need to get up out of your seat and you need to walk out and you need to go take care of that, go. Do that. If that means you need to pull out your phone and you need to call somebody up or you need to text them and start that, then you do that right now. Listen, this is about swallowing some pride, maybe. But if it's that, then do that. Let's do whatever it takes so that we can begin to forgive. Because if we don't forgive, our King says He's not going to forgive us. As people who have surrendered our lives to Jesus, He paid our debt. He paid our debt. The debt of death. The debt that we couldn't pay and go to heaven. We can't do that. And we show that we are forgiven by how we forgive others. Yes, even when they don't deserve it, especially when they don't deserve it. And so let's get started in forgiving others. Now, if you're here today and you've never surrendered to Jesus, before you get going and forgiving others, what you need to do is you need to come to the King and you need to be forgiven. See, this is not just the case where God's going to go, okay, I forgive you. See, there is a debt that has to be paid. There's a debt for our sins that has to be covered. Jesus did do that on the cross. Ephesians 1:7 says, He is so rich in kindness and grace that He purchased our freedom with the blood of His Son and forgave our sins. See, Jesus paid our debt so that we could be forgiven. And Romans 6:23 told us that this is a gift from God. And like any gift, a gift has to be received. And we receive it by repenting of our sin and by believing in the name of Jesus. We receive it by surrendering our lives to Jesus as the Lord of our life. If you need to make that decision today, or maybe there's another decision you need to make, we want to invite you to come and do that. Brian and I will be right over there if you need to talk to somebody about steps that you need to take. We would love to talk to you about that. Maybe for you today, you just need to come and pray. Maybe you need to pray for strength and forgiving. Then come and pray. Let's do what it takes to start being a people who looks and sounds a lot more like Jesus, to be a people and to be a church that forgives. Let's stand and sing, and if you need to come, please come.